your hand if you have sort of a plan for your life that you've thought about. Maybe thought about it. Some of you have thought about it really seriously. Some of you not so seriously, but that you've thought, you know, by the time I'm 20, whatever, I want to have a college degree. By the time I'm 25, I want to be married. By the time I'm 28, I want to have my first child. By the time I'm 30, I want to own my own business. You know, and you have some sort of timeline plan. Raise your hand if you've thought in some form, some sort of a rough plan kind of along those lines, okay? The rest of you have no ambition whatsoever.
Well, no. I want to watch TV.
No, here's the thing. If you have something, hopefully not like this, but something like this kind of in your mind of a plan that you want to see happen in your life, that's good to have a plan as long as you put this plan in pencil. Because if you take a plan, a goal, goals and schedule that you put your life on, and then you put it, you sink it in concrete, you etch it in stone, and you say, this is how my life is going to run, then what happens if God doesn't want it to happen along that timeline? What if God makes you wait until you're 39 before you finally get married? Or that you don't ever get married? What if God's timeline doesn't line up with your timeline? We've just got to be careful. Have your plan, but we've got to submit it to God and His plan. And here's the reason why. I'm going to erase this real quick. Because here's where we've been so far. If it starts to get warm in here, will somebody go turn the air from... The fan is on, but turn it from off to cool?
I can always leave.
Or go outside and chill off.
Okay.
Joe?
Huh?
What?
You can use something.
Okay, do you remember this? There's all these things that can't satisfy. Earth, progress, wisdom, pleasure, possessions, work can't satisfy you. Only Jesus can satisfy you. And then today we're going to look at how even our plans can't satisfy us. If you're looking to your plan for how you want to see your life work on your timeline to satisfy you, it's not going to work because you can't trust your plans. You can't trust them. You can trust God, you can trust His plan, but we can't trust our own plans. We can't be satisfied by our own plans. And we're going to look in chapter 3, verse 1. Grab a Bible. Raise your hand if you don't have a Bible. We'll get them to you from the corners. Anybody need one?
I got it.
Okay. Somebody get Joel one.
Anybody?
I am going to pray right now. God, thank you for this day, and thank you for your good plan that we can trust and that we can rest in. And some of us here, when things don't go on our timeline, we get all uptight and bent out of shape, and we worry and we get anxious. Will you help us to just rest in you and your plan as we look at your word? Holy Spirit, will you speak to us? We help us to have open hearts to hear what you want to say. And Jesus, will you be close to us? Will you satisfy us along the way, even if our life isn't working out on the schedule we would like? Teach us now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, chapter 3, verse 1. There is a time For everything. Did I already say Ecclesiastes chapter 3? Are y'all there?
Yeah.
Most of you are. Indeed. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the under heaven. What'd you hear repeated in there? Everything. No matter what it is. There's all different kinds. We just put a handful of silly things. But there's all kinds of things that happen in our life. Or that we would like to see happen in our life. And for every single thing you can possibly imagine, every activity under heaven, there is a time. There is a season for it. They don't all happen at once, and they don't even happen on our timeline. But there is a specific time for every single thing to happen. And then we're going to read verses 2 through 8, and it's pretty crazy what he does here. Listen to this. There's a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones, a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Okay, so there's a few things that I want you to see as far as a pattern here. Do you see a pattern? What do you think? Somebody tell me what you see happening here in this list. Any observations?
Rhyming?
A little bit. Maybe. There might be some, but I think it's incidental. Because usually, if there's poetry in the Old Testament, it's not going to be parallel sounds like we think of poetry. It's going to be parallel ideas, and there's going to be parallelisms. And even if it did rhyme in Hebrew, it wouldn't rhyme in English. Anything else that y'all see?
There's time for everything, good and bad.
There is a time for everything, good and bad. Okay, so there's opposites. There's goods and there's contrast. You've got opposite ends of several different spectrums of the best and the worst, and these stark contrasts on opposite sides. And this is a literary device called a merism. When you show opposite ends, and it's a way of showing totality. It's his way of saying everything you could possibly imagine, and he listed a lot. There is a time for all of it. And part of that makes me think that we're supposed to get the message that if there's something that you want to happen right now, you want a boyfriend right now, just relax. There's a time for everything. And I want you to see, look how, if you see it laid out like this, it may be hard to see in your paragraphs, but this one goes with this one. And this one goes with this one. See, they kind of go together in each verse. So it's kind of he says it and then kind of restates it. So this is sort of a human perspective. And then this is more of a nature type perspective to born and die, plant and uproot. See how those go together? And this goes with it to kill and to heal. Kill is the same, similar to tear down, and heal is the same to build. Do y'all see that? So there's a pattern going on, and he's trying to just say, no matter what you can imagine, there is a time for it. Just hold on. Just hang in there and trust God's good plan. There is a time for all of it. There really is. And some of you have heard, have you heard this song? Oh, sorry about that. You might, after you hear it in the words, you might know it. It's funny how this song came straight from the every friend who's ever had to listen to this. Now, y'all, the birds.
Oh, okay. With a Y.
And didn't y'all know what wartime that was around, that they were trying to make sense of everything? Vietnam? And just trying to make sense of all this crazy stuff that's going on, and they found peace in this idea that there's a time for everything. There is a time for war, and there is a time for peace. So just interesting whenever Scripture spills over into our culture, and it gives us truth that does give us peace. Now, how would we say, how would we use this format to put it into everyday life for us today? Maybe it'd be something like, there's a time to pass and a time to fail. That there may be times when you're like, oh my gosh, I really wanted to pass, and then you just failed, and you've got to decide, am I going to be okay with this? This is what the Lord wants right now. He may want me to learn from this, to study next time and make good choices, but right now, with this grade, I need to know this is the time that God wants me to have a failing grade. So what's He saying through that?
Don't use that with your parents.
Yeah.
Andy, I got you. I'll use that next time.
It might be there's a time to be single and a time to have a bae. There's a time to look good and a time to have a bad hair day. There is a time to laugh and a time to be laughed at. There's a time to be liked and a time to be ignored. Some of y'all, give me another one. Anyone got one to add to that list of how this might play out in today's world?
Time to grow a beard and a time to not.
Time to grow a beard and a time to not. Yeah.
Time to, does it say have and have?
A time to sleep have and have time not. To wake up.
Time to go to sleep and a time to wake up. What's Sam?
Time to play sports and a time to be injured.
Ah, yeah. And see, think in terms of these uncontrollable things that we, from a human perspective, have no control over. Like that, like time that you can play or time you're injured. And you don't have, you have to sit and be okay with God's
time. A
time
to drive and a time to be in traffic.
Oh man.
A time to grow and a shorter time of not growing. A time to eat chicken.
A time to play and a time to study.
Time to play and a time to study.
Time to work and a time to rest.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I guess it's already in there though.
No.
Okay. So, there's all kinds of things that we would like to happen on our time schedule that we have to rest and be okay with God's time schedule. And look at what it says in verse 9. What does the worker gain from his toil? It's a rhetorical question. What's the answer?
Nothing.
Nothing! And what he's talking about is you can gain nothing, meaning you can't gain control over the timeline of your life. After all your work, after all of your toil, you can't gain control of the plan of your life. Who has control of the plan of your life?
God does.
And you can work. There is, with all of your toil, you can't gain control. Verse 10, I have seen the burden God has laid on men. He calls it a burden. Us wanting control and not being able to have it. Verse 11, He has made everything beautiful in its time. There's that word everything again. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Can you think of something that when we push it and force it to happen outside of its time, that it's not beautiful?
Sex.
Would y'all agree with that?
Yep.
Sex. In its time, in God's context, is a beautiful, satisfying, awesome, God-glorifying thing. Outside of its time, it's a perversion of God's plan, and it has the excitement of cotton candy, and there is hurt and damage, emotional scarring, that hurts that future plan that God has for you. So everything really is beautiful in its time. In its time. Who decides what its time is? God does. It's according to God's clock. Meaning it's kind of God's, when I'm saying, I really want to have this much money in my retirement account. And God has to say, when I'm good and ready, you'll have that much money. Or I want to have a girlfriend right now. And God says, when it will be beautiful in its time. When I'm good and ready, you'll have it. And then it says, He has set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. He has set eternity in our hearts, meaning there's something in us that knows that there's a bigger plan at work. But He also put limits on our understanding that we can't understand God's plan. There's another translation. That word eternity is a tricky word, and it might actually be the word ignorance right there. That God has placed ignorance in the hearts of man, that they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Both fit this picture, that God has a plan that we don't understand, that we can't know. We don't see the things God sees. That's because He is infinite and we are finite. Finite means it has limits. Our understanding and the way we understand our plan and the timeline has limits. Finite. He is infinite, meaning I am without finite, without limits. His brain, His mind, His plan is infinite. And we have finite brains that can't fathom God's plan. And I think He works it out that way on purpose so that we will stay close to Him. Because if He gave me the plan of where I'm going to be tomorrow, next week, next year, 10 years from now, why would I ever need to ask Him anything again? You see what I mean? He wants intimacy. He wants us to be close. He'll give us just what we need to know when we need to know it. Some of you know when you go on a mission trip or a retreat with me and we're driving, and I'll pick a number that'll be the number for that trip. Then anytime anybody asks me, what time are we going to get there? Or how much longer? I'll say, 23. How many miles left? 23. What time are we going to get there? 23. You know, and it's just, I want you to just enjoy the ride and trust that you're going to know what you need to know right when you need to know it. And that's what I would say on a retreat. There's this one girl here, some of you know, who would ask me all the time, what are we doing next? What are we doing next? And I said, I promise you, I will tell you exactly what you need to know, exactly when you need to know it. And I feel like the Lord wants us to have that perspective with Him, that we just need to trust. He's going to let us know what we need to know when we need to know it. And we can rest in His plan. And then Solomon concludes, he says, therefore, essentially, in verse 12, I know that there is nothing better for men than to be happy and do good while they live. What does that remind you of? Does that sound familiar? Mm-hmm. What does it remind you of? You remember last week?
225.
There's nothing better for men to do than to eat and drink and enjoy His work, right? And here he says, it's nothing better for men than be happy and do good while they live. Stop stressing out about where your life is going and what the timeline is going to look like. Just enjoy Him. Enjoy the ride. And trust Him. Verse 13, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil. This is the gift of God. This gift from God is the ability to find joy, to find Jesus in the small things of everyday life, like we talked about last week. You remember? That's the gift that He's given us. We don't need to know the plan. We just need to know Jesus is here with us. Jesus is in you. So if you don't think it's the right time for you, you think you want to rush to that next phase, just relax and say, Jesus, I'm glad you're here with me. So I can be here forever if I need to be. Because Jesus, you're enough. There's no joy to be found in forcing life to happen on your schedule. And some of you just need to hear from this and from the heart of God that, listen, some of you need to hear this. You are not in control. You're not in control of your life. It's not going to happen on the timeline that you want. You're not in control. And praise the Lord that you're not in control. You don't want to be in control. Be glad that He is. Could you imagine if you asked me, hey, Andy, what time is it?
Andy, what time is it?
And I just said, pretend that I'm not looking at a clock, and I just say, I think it feels like 2 o'clock. Yeah. That would be nonsense, right? Because I'm not looking at anything. I'm not looking at any source for what the real time is. I'm just winging it. You say, what time is it? I don't look at a clock. I don't look at any standard. I just say, I want it to be 11:15. That doesn't work. That doesn't work. And we know that when we're talking about time. But we don't know that when we're talking about our lives. When we want to find out if it's time for us to be in a relationship or time for us to move on to a new group of friends or time to stop this habit or stop going to that website or whatever it may be, we don't go to God and ask Him, what time is it? Is it time for me to be doing this? Do you want me to be doing this right now? We understand that it's dumb to just say, if we're talking about time, to just guess and say, I feel like I want it to be this. That's stupid, but it's just as stupid to go through your life not asking the Lord, what time is it? If you want something really bad right now, okay, have you talked to God about that? Does He want you to have that? Ask Him for His timeline. Don't worship? Yeah.
How do you expect Him to reply to that?
How do I expect God to reply when I ask Him if it's time? Are you asking me specifically?
Like the method, the mode.
The method or the mode? Okay, good question. When I ask God questions, sometimes I'll pray, and then sometimes He gives me the next thought that comes in my mind is the answer that I need. Sometimes it's not right away. Sometimes I hear nothing. Sometimes I read Scripture. Usually when I hear God the most, and I don't hear it, I know it's kind of a weird way to talk about it. It doesn't go in my ear. It goes in my heart. When I hear Him the most is when I'm reading the Bible, and I'll read something, and then I'll sit back and go, what does that mean? And then He'll connect it with something going on in my life right now, and I'll say, oh, are you saying you don't want me? It's not time for me to be doing this right now? And He'll confirm that thought. It'll be a thought / feeling in my heart. That's one way. Another way is you're looking at Him. Talk to these leaders, talk to your parents, and say, what do you think? Do you think it's time for me to be in this relationship? Do you think it's time for me to have a job? Do you think it's time for me to be driving? And listen to the voice of God through the people that He's put around you. And He gives us wise counsel. So I'd say the people around you, the Word of God, and prayer through just listening, He, in different ways, answers those questions. Does that answer what you're getting at, Jesse?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So don't worship your plan or your schedule. Realize God's timing is perfect. So we can trust God's plan. Even when it seems slow. Even when God's plan seems slow, we can trust it. Listen, when I was just a little bit old, little bit younger than most of you, this is probably when I was like in 5th or 6th grade, maybe. This was me. Now, this is going to shock you, but I actually had a really hard time getting dates. That may be hard to believe, looking at that.
But you have a dragon on your
chest. I know, I had a dragon.
And Andy.
Yeah.
How come that pictures then have not, like, changed at all? Like, I mean, they look the exact same. I'm not even kidding.
Are you saying that I look the same than I look right today?
What happened, baby?
You're saying the background?
Yes. The quality and the background is crazy.
That was a close save right there. Anyway, what I'm saying is I didn't get a lot of dates. And there was this girl that I had a super bad crush on. And when I was in high school, I'd follow her around. I'd sit behind her in class. What? Come on! Some of you follow people. Don't act like that.
I've seen it.
If you have a Twitter account, you follow people.
We watch you physically with your feed follow people. So,
you follow the followers.
So this girl, I would sit behind her. And I would play with her hair, and she would say, "That feels good." And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, I'm going to get a date." Never happened. Nope. She would talk to me about her other boyfriends. And
rookie mistake.
Anyway, yeah, I was in the friend zone. Absolutely. But I wanted more than anything for it to be time to have her as my girlfriend. It didn't work out. It seemed like God was really slow with his plan. I was like, I don't like this. But it didn't happen. And on God's timeline, after I went to college, I met this girl named Kristen. Yeah. And the only thing I didn't like about her was her last name, so I married her and changed it to But that was in God's timing. You see, sometimes when we want something to happen right now, it's not good, and we need to trust God's plan. Stop taking pictures!
Yeah, I got it.
Hey, yo, post that on Facebook.
Oh, it's on Facebook.
Go back.
Need that.
Oh, man.
That's
okay.
Directed to me. I'll put it tomorrow.
Listen. Second Peter 3:8. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. So just keep that in mind. When it feels slow for you, it's not slow for God, and we need to be on His timeline and not ours. God is eternal, and He is... Okay, let me say it like this. God is bigger than time. God exists outside of time, and then He created time. It's kind of like He put down something kind of like train tracks that was one piece after another, that this is now time, and then He stepped down into time and walked through it with us. So keep that in mind. God exists outside of time. He's bigger than time, and He exists into time because He entered into it to be with us and to lay out His plan. So when you feel like something's taking forever, just realize He's not slow. His timing is perfect, and we need to rest in His eternal, infinite mind and plan for us. Have y'all heard of that poem, The Chambered Nautilus? Do y'all still study that in school?
Nope.
No.
It's a really cool poem. But it basically talks about how we as humans have to experience life in minutes, moments that come and then are blocked off, and we have to keep moving forward and we can't move back. Because the creature started out small in here, outgrew this, moved forward, and put a calcification or bone or whatever that is that stops him. And then he outgrows it, moves forward, and another one, and he can't go back. He has to keep moving forward. And that's how you and I as humans in this train track of time that God created have to experience time moment by moment. God stepped into that, but He also exists outside of that. So don't put too much stock in your own plan of minute by minute. This is how I think it should go. Who cares? What does God think it should look like? How does God want it to go? He is bigger than time. So we can rest in His plan. So let me say it this way. Go ahead and have your plans, but plan it in pencil. James 4:13 says, "Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go into this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that." Do you see what he just said there? Don't make these big, long plans of I'm going to do this, and then this year I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this for 6 months. Instead, say, if the Lord wills, I'm going to do this. Go ahead and make your plans. You need to be ambitious. You need to have goals. You need to have a plan. Be a good steward of the time and the energy and the brain power God has given you. Make elaborate plans in pencil. And when God wants you to change something, grab that eraser and say, I'm cool with that too, God. You the man. Your plan is good and better than mine. I'm not in control, and I'm okay with that. I can rest in your plan. My wife, whenever we watch movies, she's real good about guessing what's happening and who was the bad guy. And about 15 minutes into it, she'll say, oh, I bet he did it. And it's like the nice uncle that's just walking around. I'm like, why would you do that? You just ruined the movie for me. And I'm just like, usually in movies, I don't figure things out. I'm just like, I want to take it as it comes.
Yeah.
I just want to enjoy the ride and let the author give me what he wants to give me moment by moment. And I want us to experience life that way. Have your plan in pencil and then set it aside and just enjoy Jesus right here in this moment. Trust his plan. It's a good one. Lord Jesus, thank you for being in sovereign control of the universe, including our lives, all the big things, all the little things that you have worked out in your perfect plan. You hold them all together in your strong hands. That's a good place for our plans to be, not in our small, feeble perspective. So Lord Jesus, we trust you with our plans. When something is taking too long or we're impatient, help us to not get bent out of shape. Let us rest in your good plan and rest in you being in control. Help us, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Go to small groups.